Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12, hear God's word. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, the gospel writer Matthew gives us evidence throughout his gospel of the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the first chapter of his royal genealogy, he records his birth as the birth of the royal Son of God. And now we have Matthew's record of the testimony of the fact that there were the three magi who came to worship the King of the Jews. And that's the theme of these verses, the worship of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask the question, though, who were these wise men? Matthew just records that there were wise men from the east. No other information is given about them. Lots of speculation occurs. Some have even speculated that they have the names of the wise men. I don't know where they got that from. Some think that one came from Greece, one came from India, one came from Egypt. All kinds of speculation. All that we know is what Scripture records. They are magi. That word really means someone who is familiar with astronomy, seeing the stars, watching the stars. And indeed, they saw the great star that led them to Bethlehem. But most importantly, these three magi were representatives of the Gentile nations, representatives of those who are being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the gospel that goes beyond the borders of just Israel and encompasses the nations of the world, fulfilling what Scripture teaches throughout, that God has a people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. And these are the first fruits of that complete harvest when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These magi came to see Jesus, and they were led, as we said, by a star. We don't know much about the star. There's speculation about that as well. But it nevertheless was a special phenomenon that led them to conclude that a king was to be born among the Jews. There's so much speculation about this. The rabbis had their traditions. The mystics and the astronomers, they all pitched in. Some suggest that this was an alignment between Jupiter and Saturn, and others suggest it was a meteor or a comet or even an inner vision. You know, that would be what people today would have said, an inner vision. We don't know what it was. Some think it might have been the demonstration of the Old Testament Shekinah glory of God, the glory that led Israel through the desert, the glory that Moses experienced upon Mount Sinai, the glory that filled the tabernacle and the temple with the glory of God when he came to be present with his people, and the glory that appeared with the angels to the shepherds as the birth of Christ was announced. But all we know is that this was a special star that led them to see the King of the Jews. And they brought gifts, these magi brought gifts. At the very end of the passage, we see they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold, of course, is that great metal that is so valuable. We see that throughout history. It's been used by many for many, many things. In 1922, there was a special expedition that opened the tomb of King Tutankhamun. Or as my professor who was present at that said, King Tutankhamun, come in. That was the name he gave to the tomb. Priceless objects of gold were discovered in that tomb. Gold that today is worth multi-millions of dollars. But the gold is simply symbolic of the fact that Jesus was the king, not only a king, but the King of Kings. Frankincense and incense that was used in temple worship. It was to anoint the priest. It was the incense that was blended in offerings that were given in thanks to God. It was always associated with offerings, but never with offerings associated with sin. It would remind us then of the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was symbolic that he would come and be the sin bearer of God's people in his sinless capacity. And then they brought myrrh, that which was used in embalming, preparing bodies for burial, and reminding the people that this king would die, and that in death, the Savior who would give his life would be the one who would die for the sins of his people. That's all that we know about the Magi, but we do know they were given a word of promise. Their own reasoning did not lead them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They came to find a king. They were looking for some authentic information. Where can we find this king? And so in their desire to find him, they come to the capital, they come to King Herod, and they ask him. And Herod, in this passage, is a notorious tyrant, a cruel tyrant. The news of the wise men brought terror to Herod's heart. He became hostile, and he was in fact hostile to Jesus, fearing that to admit to the claims of a child born to be king, that he might suffer some personal loss. After all, he was king. Not only was he king, but he was the greatest tyrant of his day. He was as bad, if not worse, than Saddam Hussein. King Herod was known for having executed 45 adherents of his rival Antigonus. 45 people, he had them killed. He secretly ordered the execution of Aristobulus, the great high priest. He even had his wife Mariamne executed. He executed his mother-in-law, Alexandra. I guess you execute your mother-in-law if you execute your wife. I don't know how that works. He executed two of his sons. Why would you do that? I guess he was afraid that they might try to take the throne from him before their time. So he had them strangled. And then he executed 300 followers of his two dead sons, and he executed his other son, his heir apparent, Antipater. Herod was an ungodly man. Matthew tells us, and the other gospel writers inform us, that Herod's plea with the Magi, "Tell me where you find him so that I may worship him too," that was false. That's what Matthew records here. And he tells us in the last portion of this passage, warned in a dream, they didn't go back to Herod. And the reason, of course, was because Herod was this tyrant who hated anyone. In fact, he would kill all of the children in that community up to 2 years old. Herod was an ungodly man. Notice that it says that when the Magi came, verse 4, and he inquired of them, it's in here, it says that not only was Herod troubled, but verse 3, the last phrase says, and all Jerusalem with him. They were troubled. You would understand if you lived in Jerusalem that this news that Herod heard was going to be bad news for all the people. They were familiar with his maniacal bloodshed. They were familiar with him, and they were troubled. The whole of the area, the people were troubled. The Sanhedrin comes in then, verse 4. And they asked the people of the chief priests and the scribes, they were the ones that formed the Sanhedrin, "Where is this king going to be born?" Well, let's ask the religious leaders. They gather together. They were the ones that recognized God's word. They were the ones who possibly would have an answer. Even though they didn't accept him, even though they denied him when he came, they knew exactly where he was to be born. Notice that they answered him in verse 5. It was written by the prophet, quoting scripture from Micah, verse 6, taken directly from Micah's gospel passage, chapter 5. "And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." They knew exactly where to look in the Bible, but they weren't the least interested in the Messiah that came. How tragic. Isn't it tragic that even today there are those who know the Bible, who are familiar with the Bible? They know all of the word. They go Christmas caroling. But it means nothing to them. Christ means nothing to them. Christ meant nothing to the Sanhedrin, to the chief priests, and to the leaders, to Herod. But the wise men, they were guided by Scripture. They traveled far from the Far East. Now, you have to think with me along these lines. They didn't have an Amtrak train or an airplane. They had to go across the desert. It took great effort. It was a difficult journey. They had to be very zealous and persevering in their desire to come. And when they finally got there, they weren't even sure if they were at the right place. So they asked, "Where is this king who is to be born?" And they are told, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, it's about the distance, I guess, from Demut to Hebron. They had to go only that short distance to find the birth of the King of the Jews. And the star appeared to them again, and they went, and they found him, and they worshiped him. Herod didn't want to worship. He said, "Tell me where you find him, and I will go and I will worship him too." Flat out lie. The whole of Jerusalem knew it. But the wise men went and they worshiped him. The worship of the king was the desire of their hearts. And that should be the labor and the desire of our hearts. We ought to desire to worship him. to offer him all that we are and all that we have, and to thank him for his mercies and for his grace. Like these wise men, we ought to follow Jesus Christ. They worshiped the Christ child. They realized that he was the gift of God's grace in this world. They were wise enough to seek Jesus. We don't know exactly how or why, other than the fact that they had to be moved by God and his Spirit. They went about asking everybody about Jesus. Asking everyone, where is this one who is to be born? And all they had was a star to guide them. We have far more than a star. We have the more sure word of the gospel of God's grace. His birth has been announced throughout the world. He's revealed in Scripture as the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. He is the God who came to save his people from their sins. That's why these wise men came to worship him. And they offered their gifts of gratitude. We've seen them, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. They were the superlatives of their desire to, in their exhilaration, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came to realize that God extended his covenant to all peoples. They learned when the scriptures were open to them that the Messiah would be born according to God's promise, right there in Bethlehem. That's exactly where he would be born. They didn't find him in a palace. They didn't find him in a temple. They didn't find him among the religious leaders, but they found him where God said that he would be born. They learned from those who did not know and who did not care, but they found the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they found him, they worshiped him. They believed, but the scribes and the Pharisees were unbelieving. They believed when they saw this infant that he was the Son of God. No miracles convinced them, no teaching to persuade them, no signs of deity to awe them, but they saw him and they believed that he was the Savior of sinners, and they worshiped him. What great faith! This is the faith that God delights to honor. Let us have such faith, a faith that confesses that Jesus is Lord. He is King. Even if others remain unbelieving, we must believe what God has revealed, that Jesus is the Savior of sinners. And that's the point of this whole story. We may find Christ too. We may worship the Savior revealed in Scripture. We may bring our gifts, our gratitude to him. Look at all of the reactions that are in this story to Jesus. Herod. What was his reaction? It was hatred and fear. More interested in saving his own throne than his own soul. The religious leaders didn't care. You know, they served God, but they didn't believe in God, and the failure to believe was not due to ignorance. The failure to believe was due to their sinful hearts. But the Magi, three men from the east, came and worshiped Jesus Christ. The attitude of the Magi was the proper attitude in the presence of God. They fell down and they worshiped him. We should too. Let us worship God.